one, we give glory to the Lamb. The Almighty One, we give glory. Give
glory to the Lamb.
Great and marvelous are your deeds. Just and true are your words, Lord God Almighty. Who will not fear you, O Lord, and bring glory to your name? You alone are holy, and all nations will come and worship before you. Saints and angels sing. The saints and angels sing. Glory to the Lamb. We sing glory to the Lamb. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Just one more time. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.
This is the 70,000 watt voice of the community. KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.
Welcome to the radio broadcast of Living Word Ministries, Living Word Ministries of Negative. Stay tuned and focused and let words of life minister to you by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Verse of scripture, and that's going to be 1 Samuel chapter number 17. We'll look at verse number 29. And that one verse says, "And David said, what have I now done? Is there not a cause?" Amen. So many people say, well, you know, I might as well stop, or I don't feel like, and they're going on what they feel, and they're going on how they're having adversity and pressure pushing against them. And I just want to ask you this morning, is there not a cause? Is there not a cause for you to fight? Is there not a cause for you to keep going? Is there not a cause for you to press through? Is there not a cause for you to keep on praying? Is there not a cause for you to keep on praising? Is there not a cause today? I can give you several things that make you say that there is a cause. Amen? Amen. Because your children depend on you. Is there not a cause? Because your family depends on you. Is there not a cause? Because God wants you to be the example of an overcoming, victorious saint. Is there not a cause? What you got to see here is that God has given us all appointments that we ought to meet with him. Amen. The fact that you're here this morning is no coincidence, but this was your appointment this morning to get this word to let you know that you are anointed from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. And then the Bible goes on to say that a day came, if you look at verse number 17, that Jesse told David, he says, take for your brethren an ephah of parched corn, and he said, and 10 loaves, and run to the camp of your brethren, and carry 10 cheeses to the captains of their thousands, and look how their brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now, he says, now, David, I want you to go, and I want you to do something. I want you to go. And I want you, because David was trustworthy, anybody that can stay out in the woods with some sheep, amen, and stay there with them and say, man, they'll be all right, I'll be back. You know, that's what we do, amen. And he called him, he said, David, come, I got an assignment for you, amen. And God gives us all assignments, but many of us don't want the assignment that God gives us. We'll talk about that in a second. But he said, David, he said, take your brother some corn. Basically, he said, come here, I got some trail mix for him. Amen. He said, take this parched corn and 10 loaves and 10 cheeses. Amen. What he was saying, David, I want you to come and I'm going to use you to go and bless your brothers, and not just them, but their captains, the people who have authority over them. I want to bless them. Amen. And he said, take 10 cheeses. Now, the number 10 is the number of order. Amen. And so this was God's divine order. And God had a divine assignment for David. And what Jesse didn't know is that God was using him and gave him the thought, amen, to send David on his journey. See, a lot of times we don't realize that God can give us a thought, amen? And we fight it out of our mind. No, I don't think that's God. God said, give $100. No, that can't be the Lord, because all I got is 102. Maybe he want to bless you with 10 times the 100, amen? You never know what God is up to, but you have to learn to trust him, amen? Now, look at David. He was sent on an assignment, amen? And the reason why he was sent on an assignment is because he was responsible. How many of us can honestly say that I'm responsible? I've been responsible in the things that God has given me to do. Now, we can be responsible on the things that are just affecting us. We can be responsible with our money. Some of us are not responsible with that. But we can be responsible for our cars, cleaning them up, our house, cleaning them up, doing things like that. But how many of us can be responsible for the things of God? How many of us can be responsible for an assignment that we may not get a reward for until we die? Responsible. You got to learn to be responsible. And David, he looked at his assignment not as a tedious task. And some of us, that's what we do. Oh, Lord, I don't feel like this. I don't want to do that. You know how it is when I'm going on all these different trips, how y'all don't want to go with me. Come on and say amen. When I go preach other places, I don't feel like all of that. Amen. It's so tedious. And you don't realize that God has put you on assignment just like he's put me on assignment. Can I get a witness here? David's assignment. Let's look at his assignment. His assignment was to his brothers. His assignment was to his brothers and the 10 captains that was with his brothers. Now, the thing about it is David, he gave David 10 cheeses and 10 loaves of bread. But what did David eat? Didn't have nothing there. Come on and say amen. David didn't say that he gave David anything. Come on and say amen. And so many of us, the reason why we are not responsible in our assignment is because we're saying, what's in it for me? I want some cheese. And some bread. David didn't get none of that. He didn't get any corn. He didn't get none of that. David had to keep eating whatever he had in his little satchel. But he had to continue on his assignment. Amen. His assignment was to other people and the well-being of others rather than himself. Here it is, David, I'm just a boy. Daddy, you sending me on a journey out in the battlefield where they are at war, and I'm not a warrior. I haven't been trained to fight. Come on and say amen. You know what? God doesn't care what you've been trained to do. He'll equip you with whatever you need in the time that you need it. Amen. That's why he told the disciples, he said, they don't think of what you're going to say when they bring you before these great men. He said, but the Holy Ghost will give you what to say and the time to say it. Come on and say amen. Now, when we look at his assignment, not only was his assignment to his brothers, but his assignment was to the battlefield. Now, we don't want to go to battle. Come on and say amen. We do not want to battle. None of us want to have a fight. Matter of fact, we all avoid confrontation as much as we can. How many of us have been sent on a journey to do something that we don't really want to do? So here his assignment was to a battlefield, and the bad thing about it wasn't his fight. He about to get engaged in something that wasn't even for him. Lord, help us today. And so here he is. He goes to the battlefield. He goes to see about his brothers. And his dad said, look, I want you to take this to them, and I want you to let me know how they're doing and whatever else they need. And David goes to do it. And look, his dad expects him to make it through it. His dad expects him to make it back. And so when God sends you on an assignment, he don't expect you to stay in the mess. He don't expect you to succumb to the enemy, but he expects you to go to it and make it through it and back. Come on and say amen. God is not expecting you to die in the valley, but God is just like what David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because God is right there with me. Can I get a witness? And so God is not intending to send you into a situation saying that you're going to die in the situation, that you're not going to make it through the situation, but God is saying that if I send you to it, I can bring you through it. Amen. So we know that David was responsible. Now look at this. When he gets to the battlefield, he finds out that Israel is up in the mountain and they're afraid because they heard this great big giant that is now down in the valley asking them, somebody come out and fight me. Amen. Here he walks up, and he doesn't walk up on an army of faithful men. He walks up on an army of fearful men. Amen. And sometimes we get in a battle or we see somebody in a battle and we identify that they got fear. They may not make it because of the fear that they have in their hearts. Come on and say amen. And so when David sees this, he says that this man is defying the armies of God and God himself. And David has a righteous indignation that comes up in him, and he says, I won't stand for this. The problem with many of us Christians, today's Christians, is that we stand for whatever. We'll let anything go on. We won't say a word on behalf of God because it's not politically correct. But we need to get out of that, amen? And we need to let people know, thus saith the Lord. You have a responsibility. You have an assignment, amen, to let people know that this is not what God wants, but this is what God expects of us. And what God expects of us is not for us to throw pity parties. God does not expect for us to feel sorry for ourselves. God does not expect for us to throw in the towel, but what God expects is for us to appear in faith. Encourage the ones that are fearful. David asks the question, what's going on? He actually says, what's going on here? He says, and the man beside him begins to talk, and David's brother. In verse 28, David's brother gets mad, and he starts talking to him. In verse 28, yeah, Eliab, his brother, his eldest brother. You know how it is, the older brothers, they get on the younger. And he said that you just got pride in your heart, and you just want to see a battle. That's why you hanging around, you asking questions. And David says in verse 29, what have I now done? He says, is there not a cause? David said, I didn't say nothing. I'm just listening. I'm just listening at what is going on. I heard the giant out there talking. And then this man tells me that Saul says if somebody will kill the giant, that he'll make his household tax free and he'll give him many riches and his daughter. Come on and say amen. Now, you know, that sounds good. That sounds good. If I put my life on the line, and Saul knew that there's no way anybody's going to beat this giant. So I'll give him my daughter, I'll give him riches, and they'll never have to pay another tax, not him nor his family, in his lifetime. Come on and say amen. David, all of a sudden, he says, is there not a cause? Amen. And I'm asking you, don't be fearful, but I'm asking you, is there not a cause for you to have faith in God? You see, the thing about David is that he was responsible, but he also had a memory, amen? And he brought to remembrance the things that God had delivered him from. Come on and say amen. And so therefore, he was not fearful, but he was faithful, and he trusted in God. He resisted the devil, come on and say amen, so that he might flee. Now what happened? David began to remember. He began to remember that there was a lion and a bear that came and took a lamb from his flock. And David said, now, if I could fight for some sheep, I know I can fight for some people. Come on and say amen. I can fight a bear who's stronger and a lion who's stronger than Goliath. I'm sure if God given me victory over them, that God will give me victory over him. You see, some of us, we have giants in our life, and we don't want to fight them. I'm going to give you an acronym for giants. Great adversity, including nagging, trying situations. Giants. We have great adversity that includes nagging situations or trying situations in our life, and we don't realize that God has put them there so we can defeat them. You got to understand, Goliath was no little man. He was just about 10 foot tall. Goliath had armor on that weighed, his helmet and his coat of armor weighed 125 pounds by itself. And that itself weighed more than David probably. And the tip of his spear weighed 15 pounds. So imagine going up against this demonic machine and David being a little youthful boy that says that I'm not afraid to do what God has called me to do. Come on and say amen. And the Bible says that when David began to talk about, I'll go and I'll do it because of what God has done in the past. I remember what God has done. What we have to do is the same thing that David did. If God healed you in the past, he'll heal you today. If God delivered you before, he'll deliver you today. If God has set you free, he'll keep setting you free. If God is faithful, he'll continue to be faithful. Come on and say amen. He woke you up yesterday morning, and this morning I'm here. And so God has woke me up this morning, and God will continue to do what he's going to do. He trusted God more than everybody else in the camp. You see, some of us, it's easy for us to fall back like everybody else. Well, nobody else wants to fight, so neither do I. But God is saying, I'm calling somebody on the scene. You see, the thing about David is that he didn't know what he was up for. And some of us don't know what God is calling us to. You don't know your next stage or your next phase. Amen? David was not really ready and prepared for what was going to happen. He didn't know, you know, I'm talking about in his mind and physically, he wasn't prepared. He hadn't been trained, but God says, no time for that. I'm putting you on the scene for a reason. God is bringing you through this and to this for a reason. Come on and say amen. And so he trusted God, and the Bible says that they brought him to Saul, and Saul said, okay, put on my armor, and you go out and you defeat him. Now, the thing about this is that if David would have put on Saul's armor and it would have fit him and he would have lived, amen, they would have said, well, that must have been Saul because it was his armor. But God doesn't want your victory to be mistaken by anything or anybody, amen. He wants everybody to know that he gave you victory. Come on and say amen. He wants everyone to know that it was you that defeated it. It wasn't some book you read. Oh, come on and say amen. It wasn't because I laid hands on you that made you victorious, but it's because you had faith in God. And so God doesn't want anybody to get the glory, but he wants you to know that it's all about him, amen. You see, David said, I haven't proved these things yet. I haven't tried these in the battle. And I don't know if your armor will work for me, but I do know what will work. Come on and say amen. Anybody here know what will work? Let me tell you some things that might work if you try it. It might work if you praise him when you're going through. Try that. It might work if you're praying while you're going through. Try that. It might work if you worship him while you go through. Come on and say, man, while I'm in the battle, I still got to keep my mind on him. I still got to make sure that I have my faith. Why? Because in Ephesians 6, faith is a shield. Faith will quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Not only was David facing Goliath, but David was facing Goliath's armor bearer. Somebody who was skilled and trained, he was a skilled, trained assassin.
And so David was facing two things. Come on and say amen. Have you ever been facing a giant and it looked like when things got bad, it just got worse because you don't see no way out? That's what David was facing. Goliath had a man standing in front of him with his shield so that he couldn't get to the giant. Come on and say amen. And it seemed like sometime in our life when we have our trials and our tribulation, the things that we're going through, it seemed like we will not be able to overcome the enemy because we see all the stuff in front of that enemy. Come on and say amen. Okay, we got bills. That's my giant. And in front of these bills is I only get paid $10 an hour. Oh, come on. That's the shield that's held up by the armor bearer. I can't see my way. I can't see getting through this because you got that in front of me. Come on and say amen here. We got so many things that might happen in our life. You got sickness. And then because you got sickness, you need a certain medicine, but you don't have the money to buy it. Come on. That's the armor bearer that keeps you from defeating your giant. But I declare today, is there not a cause for you to approach your giant, to run hastily towards your giant and not have fear, but to have faith in God? And when you have faith in God, you don't worry about it because you begin to fight. As Paul told Timothy, he said, fight the good fight of faith. I don't know anybody in here that won't like to see a good fight. Come on and say amen. Oh, yeah, if I see two guys boxing, if they just boxing around and ain't nobody doing nothing, they just jumping around, the whole crowd starts saying boo. The crowd don't want to see that. What the crowd want to see them throwing punches, amen? And so we want to fight a good fight because the Bible said that we're compassed about by a great crowd of witnesses. We got folks looking at us. Come on. We got a crowd of witnesses that say, hey, I fought the same giant. I fought in the same ring, and I'm victorious. I got my victory. Come on and say amen. And you can have victory too. Do I have anybody here to say, I've been through some fights and I made it through my fight? I didn't draw with the devil. Amen. The devil don't win and I win too. Because the Bible lets us know that Jesus has already given us victory. If we look at the Bible, what does it say? It says that we have victory in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, I already overcome the world. And if you're in me, you overcome too. Oh, yeah. The Bible said, now thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ Jesus. I wish I had a church that I can preach to this morning. But when we look at what happened with David, David went on, and the Bible says that David, when Goliath looked at David, he said, now they sent a little boy out here. Am I some type of dog that he come out here with a stick? But before that, David went down to the river and he found 5 smooth stones. Come on and say amen. And the reason why he had to get smooth stones is because smooth stones work in the air better than those that have knots on it and those that are rough. Come on and say amen. But what we got to understand is that you ain't nothing but a stone. The Bible calls us lively stones. Amen. And so in order for us, this stone to be used to defeat that devil, God has to make us smooth. How did they become smooth? Those rocks were laying in the river. And the Bible says the river of life. We got to remember that. We got to stay in the river. What? The Bible says that you are clean by the washing, by the water, by the word. And if I stay in the word long enough, I'll get smooth enough that God will use me to defeat the enemy. If I just keep getting this word, there's no doubt in my mind that God is going to use me. Oh, yeah, God is going to use me to defeat an enemy. You got to remember here, there's a picture that's being painted. There's a lesson being learned. And when you look at the Old Testament, it's only a schoolmaster or a teacher for what you're to get in the new. Amen. It's a shadow of the things to come. Now, we have a shepherd who goes down to the river to get rocks to fight with. And the Bible said David went to the battle with his shepherd's staff in his hand and his rocks in his pocket. Come on and say amen. And so when we look at what David did, David is a picture of Christ. Oh, y'all don't hear me now. Christ, the Bible says in Psalm 23, the Lord is he's a shepherd. So Jesus is a shepherd that goes up to fight against a giant that everybody's afraid of. The Bible says that everybody was afraid of dying, but Jesus made it easy to die because he'll raise you up if you die. And so it's easy to go to bed and go and die knowing that someday I live again, that I'll be raised up. Here he is. He said, he goes up, the shepherd goes and find five smooth stones and put them in his bag. Five is the number of grace. We need to know that God has given us grace to be able to face our enemy. He's given us favor. Y'all don't hear me here. So instead of you having fear, you need to have faith, and then you need to fight and have favor in the fight. Amen. Oh yeah, you're the favorite. You're the crowd's favorite. Not only are you the crowd's favorite, but you're God's favorite. And since you're God's favorite, you ought to fight like you got favor. Oh yeah, come on and say amen. I don't fight like I'm disgusted and broke and busted. Even if I don't have any money, you'll never know it, because I know who has all the money. Oh yeah, even if I don't have what I need, the Bible said that my God shall apply all of my need according to his riches in glory. If I can get somebody to realize today that there is a cause for you to fight today, there is a cause not to throw in the towel. You see, David was responsible. David, not only was he responsible, but he remembered what God had done for him. He remembered how good God had been to him in the face of a bear and in the face of a lion. Come on and say amen. Now, if we want to look at this spiritually, let's look at it. The Bible said that the devil is as a what? Roaring lion. And so David had already defeated something that looked like the devil. Come on and say amen. But not only that, but a bear is like a spirit that's stronger than you, that hovers over you, that holds you down, keeps you down. Oh, come on. You can't hide from it. You can't run from it, because it's faster than you. Come on and say amen. And so David said that not only did I get victory over what looked like the devil, I got victory over a spirit that could have been holding me down. Amen. And so I'm letting you know today that God, if he can get me through the spirit that I've already defeated, and if he can get me through what looked like I had already faced was the devil, and guess what? David didn't face them for himself. He faced it because one little lamb that had been taken away. And see, what we got to remember is this, that Jesus said that who God had put in my hand, can nobody pluck him out. And so David, that's a picture of Jesus, that if he leave the 99, he'll go get the one. It was one lamb that was taken by the bear and the lion. And David said, I remember the Lord had given me victory over that, and I'm going down to the river. Come on and say amen. Anybody here want to go to the river? When we go down to the river, we're going to the word. And when you go down to the word, you need to get some out of the word. That's why we come here every Sunday and Thursday, so that we can dig in the river and find a stone that's smooth enough. Oh, come on and say amen. We got to get some smooth stones. And David took the smooth stones, put the smooth stones in his satchel, or in his man purse, if you will. Come on and say amen. And he went out and he faced Goliath. Goliath said, you come at me like I'm some kind of dog. You don't know who you're facing. You think you're going to run me off with a stick? You think you're going to run me off? Come on and say amen. What David was trying to let him see was that you're not dealing with a soldier. You're dealing with a shepherd. The difference between a soldier and a shepherd is that a soldier is drafted into this, but a shepherd wants to do it because he loves it. Y'all don't hear me? You got to understand there's a difference between a soldier and a shepherd. A soldier says that I'm going to fight for my country to get a paycheck. A shepherd says I'm going to lay my life down for the sheep. Oh, come on and say amen, because I love the sheep. The sheep give me wool when I'm cold. Come on. I love the sheep, and I know them each one name by name. Do you know that a shepherd names his sheep, and the sheep hear the voice of the shepherd, and they get to have an intimate relationship? You see, a soldier don't have an intimate relationship with his captain or his general. He just take orders. But a sheep get to know who his shepherd is. A sheep, come on and say amen. And so David said, I didn't come to fight a dog. I know what I'm doing. I'm letting you know that I'm a shepherd. I'm letting you know that I'm a leader. I'm letting you know that I am somebody that God has called to be here. I'm not here by accident. You just walked up on your worst nightmare. Everybody else is afraid of you, but I'm not afraid to fight. Come on and say amen. Is there not a cause in here? I'm not afraid to fight. I'll do whatever it takes to get victory. Oh, come on and say amen here. And so when we look at David being responsible, we look at how he put things in remembrance. And then he turned around and said, I got some resistance. I'm not going to be fearful. But then we look at how he was so resilient whenever he got ready to fight. The Bible said that he ran toward the giant. Now, Goliath walked toward him, but David said, I'm not going to let him walk toward me. You know how it is. Don't move. Y'all don't do nothing. Just wait till they come. Now, if they cross the line, then when they cross that line, you step back, draw another line. If you cross the line. Now, David said, I ain't giving you time to think about it. Yeah, he told David, he said, David, he began to curse David in the name of his God. He said, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to give your carcass to the fowls of the air. All of this is going to happen. Amen. And so when we look at what David said, I'm going to take what you said, but I'm going to say it in the name of the Lord. Because what